We're holding Yud Ches Amud Beis by the Mishnah. From here until the end of the Masechta, we're going to be talking about Dinim of Tumah V'Tahara. And the connection of it is because we're going to talk about at the end, Rashi explains at the end of the Mishnah that we're going to talk about later on in the next Perek that some of these rules are relaxed during the Yom Tovim. Many of these rules are based on the idea that Amei Ha'aretz are less careful with Hilchos Tumah V'Tahara, and therefore that during the rest of the year we have to consider them Tumah, but on Yom Tov we relax many of the rules that we're going to do, not the ones actually that we're talking about in our Mishnah, but various other rules of Tumah V'Tahara, certain other rules of Tumah V'Tahara, ones that are Dirabanan, of course, we relax them during the Yom Tov. In general, there's a concept that Chayiv Adam V'Tahara Atzma B'Regel, a person is obligated to make themselves Tahar during the Yom Tov, and therefore, the assumption is that the Amei Ha'aretz do also, and therefore that in fact they are Tahar unlike the rest of the year, but even whether they did or not, we assume that they did, and we act accordingly, as we'll see as we go through the following daf. The Mishnah says, Noitlin Yadayim L'chulin V'lamayser V'lutruma. When it comes to if you want to eat chulin, or if you want to eat meiser, and in general, whenever we talk about meiser unspecified, and we talk about in connection with Hilchos Tumah V'Tahara, we mean meiser sheni, because meiser rishon is complete cholin, there's no special rules about it. But meiser sheni has to be eaten v'tahara, so therefore, so we're saying though, so you have to wash your hands when you're eating cholin, when you're eating cholin, when you're eating meiser, and when you're eating truma, then it's enough to just wash your hands in the usual way. And we'll see in the Gemara, are we talking about touching them or are we talking about eating them? So we'll go, that's one of the points that we'll take up in the Gemara. The Lakodesh, on the other hand, if you want to eat or touch, as the case may be, eventually we're going to say it means eating. So if you want to eat Kodshim, for example, Shlomim, Chathos, etc., then Matzbilin, then the Chachamim made a Mila, the Chachamim made an extra rule that you have to tovel your hands in a mikvah of 40 sa. So Rashi explains, we're talking about over here, where B'chlal, it's not even that you know that your hands are Tameh, let alone your whole body. We're talking about just that it's Stam hands, Stam Yadayim. You haven't done anything particular with them. You don't know that you've touched anything Tameh. But the Chachamim say Yadayim Askani is saying, your hands are always moving around and touching things or whatever. And therefore, that's why you have the rule of washing in the first place. And that's why we're saying for Kodesh, it's not enough to wash them. You actually have to dip your hands in a mikveh. And v'lachatas, and for handling para aduma, for handling anything involving the para aduma, the water that's been mixed with Efer para, for example, then you have a further mila. All these milas that we're talking about are drabanam. Midiraisa, there's no such thing as different levels of tara for different things. But midrabanan, we have a level, we have a mila for kodesh, and we have a further mila beyond that for chatas. Where there we say nitmu yadav, nitmu gufay, if his hands became tamei, then his body is tamei. Meaning, in other words, even though just his hands became tamei, he's going to have to tovel and a mikveh his entire body before he can handle anything with chatas. And chatas over here meaning par adum. Rashi points out that means even if we're talking about something that was only Matame's hands in the first place, which again, the concept of hands alone becoming Tame is only Dirabanan, but for example, the person touched a Vlada Tumah, or the person touched a Sefer of a Sefer Torah or other books of Tanakh, etc. So all those things, his hands are Tame Dirabanan, and we're saying that for Chathas, not only does he have to actually tovel his whole body as a result of that. Back at the beginning of Masechta Yoma, we learned that the problem was whether the reason why the Chachamim made such extraordinary precautions as far as Chatas is because the Tzedukim claimed that the halacha is that a Chatas can be prepared by people who are Tvula Yom, who Tovel but don't yet have head of Shemesh. The Tzedukim disagreed with that. So in order to demonstrate not the Chachamim would dafka be metame the Kohen Gadol who's preparing the Parah Adoma and then have him tovel, so that is a Tvul Yom. But now, in order that people don't get careless and say, well, you know what, if the Pot HaAdumah can be made by somebody who was just Tomei and Toivol, a Tzvul Yoim, who usually is considered a low level of Tumah, then maybe we don't have to be careful about other areas of Tumah. So therefore, the Chachamim made a huge number of milas when it comes to the Pot HaAdumah. Continues the Mishnah. Tova l'cholin, hochsak l'cholin. If a person Toivol, having in mind that he's going to be eating cholin, and cholin over here can mean also cholin shenasu altaras hakodesh or altaras truma. You have a concept where sometimes you can have there's actual food of truma, there's actual food of kodeshim. Then you can have where a person is going to be eating cholin, but he wants to be eating it on the same standard of tara as if it was truma or as if it was kodesh. So here, a person tovled, so we say that, so here, a person tovled having in mind that he's going to eat cholin, so huchsak l'cholin, so that means, in other words, he had in mind when he was tovling that he plans to eat cholin, well then, this is another maila d'rabbanan, also l'maiser, that he's not allowed to eat maiser sheni because of that tevila. If he wants to eat maiser sheni, he's going to have to tovle again, having in mind maiser sheni. So this is another maila d'rabbanan. Similarly, Tovol l'maaser, if he tovled having in mind to eat maaser, huchsak l'maaser, and he had in mind that now he's able to eat maaser, also l'truma, then he's also to eat truma. Similarly, Tovol l'truma, huchsak l'truma, also l'kodesh, Tovol l'kodesh, huchsak l'kodesh, also l'chatas. So each one you have to have in mind for that thing, otherwise the tevila is no good for that purpose. And the rule is, Tovol l'chomer mutu l'kal, if he tovled for something more stringent, then he's allowed to do the less stringent thing. For example, let's say he tovled for chatas, then he's also allowed with that tevila to eat kodesh and to eat truma and so forth. But but not the other way around. And the Mishnah continues: tovol v'loy huchsa. If he tovled without having anything in mind, he just didn't have in mind tevila at all. He just intended to bathe. Then it's as if he didn't tovel at all, and therefore he can't even. So we'll see in the Gemara. We'll see in the Gemara what that means. I mean, it doesn't mean, for example, that he doesn't mean, for example, that he can't eat anything. So we'll see in the Gemara. In other words, he's not tomei anymore, but nevertheless, he's still good as far as cholin, but not as far as any of the other things. Continues the Mishnah. Bigdei ama oretz midras. The Prussian. Here's another Mila that now here's where we start talking about the Amaya Oretz. The clothes of the Amaya Oretz, good morning, Yaakov. The clothes of an Amaya Oretz are considered Tumas Midras relative to Prussian. Prussian are the people who are careful with the dinim of Tumah V'Tahara. So now, in other words, if a Porush touches the clothes of an Amaya Oretz, then it's considered as though he touched something which had Tumas Midras. Tumas Midras is the Tumah that you get from a Zav or Zava or any of the people in that group sitting on or standing on or leaning on or whatever, something that is meant for doing so. Now we have in different places in Shas, it talks about the rules. If, for example, a Zav sits on top of an upside down garbage can, he's not Matame it. Because we say, Amoid v'nasim alachteinu. We tell him, get up. We want to use that garbage can for its purpose. But you have all kinds of things that are meant for sitting on. For example, chairs and beds and things like that. You also have things that are multifunction. For example, a person's clothes. A person's clothes, they're meant for wearing. But practically speaking, you sit on them as well. So now, the Chachamim made, then, we have to assume that mitzada safik, that the clothes of the Amoretz are tumas midras. Now, the reason for that is not because we're concerned that the Amaya Oretz himself is a Zav. A Zav is a fairly uncommon thing. The reason is because we're concerned that his wife, who, when she was a Nidda, may have sat on these things, and a Nidda is one of the ones who's able to make things have too much midras. So now, in other words, so she may have sat at some point on her husband's clothes, or on some part of them at least, whatever. So we consider them too much midras, as a Maila Midrabanan. Tosfos on your testament base, the Tosfos belongs to our Mishnah, but it's printed in the middle of the Gemara, has a long discussion about the ins and outs of that. Are there ever times when we say that maybe the Amoretz himself is Tomei Tumas Midras, or is it always that we're worried Shemet, or is it always that we're worried that maybe his wife sat on them when she's a Nida, etc. Anyway, the point is, but basically that's what it is. Because they're not careful with Hilchas Tumah V'Tahara, therefore his wife, when she's a Nida, may have sat on it, and he doesn't know this concept of Tumas Midras, therefore he doesn't realize that these clothes are Tomei, and therefore we consider them Midras, as far as Purushim, meaning people who are careful with Tumah V'Tahara. Right. Specifically, Rashi says Purushim means Uchle Chulehen V'Tahara, people who eat the Chulin in a state of Tahara. So in other words, we're talking about people who eat the Chulin Al Taras Truma or Al Taras Kodesh. So they have to be careful, therefore, to avoid anything that would make Truma or Kodesh respectively Tomei. So in this case, therefore, they have to be, if they touch the clothes of an Amoret, then they're going to have to go and dip in a mikveh in order to, and as the earlier part of the Mishnah said, they're going to have in mind that they're dipping for Truma or for Kodesh, respectively, and then they'll be able to eat it. Similarly, Bigdei Oichli Truma Midras LaKodesh. The clothes of people who eat Truma are considered Midras relative to those who eat Kodesh. The same thing, this is another one of those milos that we're talking to Rabbanon, that, again, Midaraisa, there's no such thing as something being Tomei for one person and Tahor for the other person. But Midarabbanon, we say that if a person has toiled to eat Truma, then his clothes are still considered Tomei relative to somebody who wants to eat Kodesh. And therefore, if somebody who eats Kodesh touches those clothes, he's going to have to dip in a mikveh before he eats Kodesh. And Big Day Kodesh, Midras L'Chatas, and then you have the Maila on top of that, as far as Chatas, meaning Parah Aduma, that again, the clothes of somebody who toiled for Kodesh are still considered Midras, are still considered Tomei, relative to Chatas, and therefore, if the person who wants to handle Chatas, Parah Aduma, wants to, and touches those clothes, then he's going to have to dip in the mikveh. So, in other words, Rashi sums it up. In other words, what we say is, the level of guarding of Tahara that each lower one does is considered by the Chachamim not enough for the higher level. So for example, in other words, when a person is going to eat Truma, he makes sure, of course, that he and his clothes are Tahar so that he can eat the Truma. Nevertheless, as much as he guards himself from Truma, we consider as though he hasn't guarded himself relative to the higher thing, for example, in this case, Kodesh or Chatas. And the Mishnah gives examples. Yosef ben Ye'ezer ha'yachosid shemakona. Yosef ben Ye'ezer, we just had the other day, was the first Nasi of the Zugos. He was not only a tremendous Talmid Chacham, of course, he was one of the Mekabli HaTorah, but he was the Chosid shemakona. He was the most careful in Dinim of Tumah V'Tahara among all the Kohanim. And v'hoisim et pachtei midras l'kodesh. But when it comes to eating kodesh, his handkerchief or other clothing of his would be considered midras for those who eat kodesh. Because in other words, as a kohen, he would occasionally be eating kodshim, but not on a regular basis. On a regular basis, he would be eating truma though. So he would be toveling and he would be guarding himself and his clothes or whatever to not become tomei regarding Truma, but that wouldn't be enough for Kodesh. So if anybody who was eating Kodesh touched Yosi ben Ye'ezer or his clothes, then they would be considered Tomei de Rabbanan and have to Tovel. And likewise, Yochanan ben Gudgada, another one of the Chachamim, he was a Levi who lived at the end of the second list Mikdash. The Mishnah and Erchin mentioned that he was one of the Leviim in charge of opening and closing the gate to the Bais Mikdash. So Hoya Oichel Al Taras HaKodesh Kol Yomav, he used to, throughout his life, he would always eat Al Taras HaKodesh. He would eat his Chulin on the standard of Tara as if it was Kodesh. And yet, so therefore, so his clothes and whatnot are considered Tahar regarding Kodesh and regarding the lower things, as we said, because things that are Tahar for the higher things are Tahar as far as the lower things. So therefore, he's good as far as Kodesh and as far as Truma and as far as Meiser. But v'hoisimid pachtin, midras l'chatas, nevertheless, his handkerchief and his other items of clothing would be considered Tumas Midras relative to those who are preparing paradroma or handling paradroma water, etc. Okay, so the Gemara starts off. When we say the Mishnah had started, Noitlan Yadayim L'Chulin V'LaMaiser, that you wash your hands to for Chulin or for Maiser, Sheni. So the question is, Chulin or Maiser Mibo Natilas Yadayim? Do those actually require Natilas Yadayim? Or to me, I have a contradiction. A Braisa says, a Mishnah rather, it's a Mishnah in Masech Bikurim, HaTrumah VaBikurim, Truma and Bikurim are both the same as far as this goes. Bikurim is considered a kind of Truma. Rashi brings from a pasuk that a Truma, Usrumas Yodcha, refers to Bikurim, so they have the same dinim of Truma as Truma. So they have a lot of rules. Chayobin Alein Misa V'choymesh, if a zor eats them, or also for that matter, if a kohen gadol who's tomei eats, if a kohen who's tomei eats them, then he's chayav misa b'dei shemayim v'choymesh. And if a zor eats them b'shoigig, then he has to pay the kohen an extra fifth, an extra 25%. But also the zorim, those things are also for zorim to eat. Meaning, in other words, we just said there's misa b'dei shemayim, but in addition, there's also a lav. The Tosfos Reed talks about that maybe the first part, maybe a Chayovin Alein Misa is talking specifically about a Kohen who's Tomei, and then Harei also with Zorim would mean just that Zorim are also not allowed to eat. Anyway, the Heim Nichse Kohen, both of them also have in common that they're considered the property of the Kohen, meaning, in other words, they're considered fully his property for all purposes. In particular, for example, he can use them to be a Kaddish woman, which is always the standard in Halacha. Does something really belong to you? If you can do valid Kedushin with it, then it means that it's yours. But Rashi also adds from other Mishnayos in Bikurim over there that it means, for example, a Kohen would be able to sell Truma. Now, he can't sell it to a Zor, of course, but he can sell it to another Kohen and use the money to buy other things, even things that are not food, for example, Avodim and land and Behemoth Tmeah. So the Nichse Kohen, the Kohen's property for all purposes, but Olin Be'echad Tmeah, Truma and Bikurim also have in common that you need 100 times as much to be mevatel them. If you have, if a saw of truma, for example, falls into a bunch of chulin, if you don't have 100 times as much chulin, then the truma is not bottle, and then the whole thing is also for zorim to eat, and the person is going to have to sell it all to kohenim. He's going to have to sell it all to kohenim, and only kohenim are going to be allowed to eat it. You need 100 times as much to be mevatel. But oilin literally means comes out, because what you do is, if you have 100 times as much chulin, then fine, the truma is batal, but then you have to take out one saw of the mixture to give to the kohenim, just so that you're not depriving them of what they're rightfully entitled to. It's obviously not going to be the same saw you took out. It's not going to be the same saw of truma that fell in, but nevertheless, at least this way, you're not stealing from them. Anyway, so the same thing applies to truma and to bikurim. Utunin netilas yadayim, both of them, truma and bikurim, if you're going to be eating them, you need to wash your hands. The head of Shemesh, and both of them, if you were tame and you tovel to eat them, you need head of Shemesh. Harei ela b'truma b'korim. All of these rules then apply to truma and b'korim. Mashenkin b'maiser, as opposed to they do. None of these things apply to maiser sheni. There's no misa b'dei shemayim for eating it where you're not supposed to. There's no choymesh. Now, there is a choymesh in the sense that if you're redeeming Maisa Sheni, you add a choymesh. But we're not talking about that. We're talking about this, that if a person eats truma, then he has to pay the kohen an extra choymesh. You don't have that concept with Maisa Sheni. Maisa Sheni is mutter to zorim. Anybody can eat it, of course. It's not considered yur nechosim. You can't be mekadesh a woman with it, for example, and you can't buy slaves and land and whatever with it, because you can only use maaser sheni money for food. You don't need to do that. This is what we're getting at, that you don't need to wash your hands for it. And the reason would be because your hands, yadayim, stam yadayim, are considered a sheni latumah. Well, maaser sheni is basically the same as cholin as far as that goes. And with cholin, you only go as far as sheni. So therefore, your hands, which are sheni v'truma, are not going to be able to affect the maisa sheni and cause any problems with it, as opposed to truma, where you go as far as shlish, and therefore your hands would pass on it. So you don't have to wash your hands for maisa sheni, because your hands anyway are not going to make it tomei. You don't need a head of shemesh, because in fact, the halacha is that all you need to do to eat maaser sheni is tovel. You do not need a head of shemesh. In a few months from now, in Yevamos, Beis Hashem, the Gemara will talk about where we learn that from. Anyway, so none of these things apply to maaser. All the more, and also they're not oven ba'echad umeya, because you don't need 100 times as much to be mevatel them. They can be bottle beroiv like most things. Anyway, so v'choshek and v'cholin, all the more so, none of these rules apply to cholin. So now, kasha, meiser, ha-meiser, kasha, chulin, ha-chulin. So now we have a contradiction about meiser, where our Mishnah is saying you have to wash your hands for meiser sheni, and that Mishnah in Bikurim says you don't. And chulin, the same thing. Our Mishnah says you have to for chulin, and that Mishnah is saying that you certainly don't have to for chulin. So what is it? And the answer, so the Gemara starts, v'shleima meiser ha-meiser like kasha. Now, I can understand that when it comes to Meiser, there's no contradiction, because we can say Hora Meir v'Hora Banan, because we can say it's a Machoikas, Reb Meir and the Chachamim, and therefore one Mishnah goes like Reb Meir and the other one goes like the Chachamim. The Tanan, we have another Mishnah that says, Kol Aton Bias Mayim Direi Seifim, in any case where a person has to Tovel Midrabanan, Metame Es HaKodesh, then if before he goes and Tovels in the Mikveh, he touches Kodesh, then he'll make it Tomei. He'll also make truma posel. The difference between metame and posel. Posel means that it becomes tome, but the truma won't extend any further. By truma, you only go as far as shlishi the truma. Therefore, he being a sheni the truma, where he needs to tovel the rabbanan, it means that he's a sheni the truma. So he will make the truma shlishi, but shlishi by truma does not make other food revi. So therefore, that's what it means posel. As opposed to by kodshim, you go all the way to revi. So therefore, he's not only posel, he's metameh it. In other words, that food of kodesh is now shlishi, and if it touches other food of kodesh, it will make it a revi. And the Mishnah continues, mutar l'chulin u'lemaiser. On the other hand, a person like that who needs to tovel, who's tomei midrabanan, is allowed to eat chulin, and is allowed to eat maiser sheni, divrei meir, v'chamim oisrin b'maiser. Where the chachamim say, not when it comes to maiser. So fine, our Mishnah then is going according to the chachamim, the Mishnah in Bikurim that says that you don't need to wash your hands even for maiser, would be according to the meir. Again, keep in mind, if you don't wash your hands, there are sheni l'chulin. But how do you reconcile cholin? Our Mishnah says you have to wash your hands because your hands are sheni l'truma, and you have to wash them for cholin. The other Mishnah that we just quoted from Masechta Parah, or rather the Mishnah from Bikurim that we quoted earlier, the Mishnah from Bikurim says that you don't need to wash your hands for cholin. So the answer is like kasha kan ba'achila kan b'negia. There's a difference between eating them and touching them. So our Mishnah said you need to wash your hands. We're talking about in order to eat them. The Mishnah in Bikurim that says that you don't means that we're talking about as far as handling them, that you don't need to. Now, does that mean actually that we're answering as far as both Truma, as far as both Meiser and Chulin? That saying, in other words, so it's not after all a Machlokes Reb Meir and the Chachamim, but rather that it's always a difference between eating and touching. So some Mephoshim learn that way. Other Mephoshim, the Tosfos Reed, I think, for example, says that no, nevertheless, we're still sticking to that when it comes to Maisa, we have the Machlokas, Reb Meir and the Chachamim, only regarding Chulin are we making this distinction between eating and touching. But when it comes to Maisa, according to the Meir, even touching it, you'd have to wash your hands. So the Gemara says, Mas Flot of Shimi Ba'ashi. But Rav Shimi Ba'ashi asks on that, the fact is, ad kan like pligia rabbanon alei de Rav Meir ela ba'achila de Meiser. The fact is, we only find that the Chachamim are arguing with Rav Meir about eating Meiser. Aval b'negia de Meiser v'achila de Chulin, but when it comes to touching Meiser and when it comes to eating Chulin, loy pligi. We don't find that they ever argue. When they say osur b'meiser, it doesn't mean that he's not allowed to touch meiser. It means they're saying he's not allowed to eat meiser with his hands asheni v'truma. In other words, Rashi says we see Reb Meir says mutar ba'achila, that he's allowed to eat, that he's allowed to eat meiser, and the Chacham are saying he's not allowed to, implying that they're saying he's not allowed to eat it. So therefore, implying that they're saying he's allowed to touch it. Now, if you're going to say that our Mishnah is saying that you need to wash your hands before you touch it, then who would our Mishnah be like? It wouldn't work like the Meir or like the Chacham. Ella, no. Aidi ba'achila. Rather, we can say both Mishnayos are talking about eating. V'lekasha, kan ba'achila de nama, kan ba'achila de peyu. There's a difference whether he's eating bread versus whether he's eating fruit. Fruit, of course, that became wet at some point as Mokshu l'kabal tov. Namely, our Mishnah that says that you have to wash your hands is talking about that you have to wash your hands in order to eat bread, whether of cholin or of maisel. Whereas the Mishnah in Bikurim that says that you don't have to wash your hands for maisel and certainly not for cholin is talking about when you're eating fruit of those things. Truma, you would, because the fact is, if you touch truma with hands that are sheni, you're going to make them a shlichi, and the truma is going to be possible. But when it comes to meiser, where anyway, again, meiser sheni is like cholin in that regard, it only goes as far as sheni, then you don't have to wash your hands to eat food of it. Which then Tosfos says, now we don't need to say anymore that we're talking about Reb Meir versus the Chachamim. We could say that both Mishnayos are according to everybody. So the Omer of Nachman, and the reason why we know that, so why Taka shouldn't you have to wash your hands for fruit, isn't the fruit Makabel Tuma, but the Omer of Nachman, Kol Anoto Yod of Leperus, if a person washes his hands in order to eat fruit that had become wet, Hareza Migasia Ruach, then it shows that he's being proud, it shows like he, as if he's showing off, look how much more careful in mitzvahs I am than you are. So therefore, when the fruit is still wet, Then you wash your hands. This is actually on Pesach night when we wash for karpas. That's the idea. It's wet right now, and therefore you would be metame it with your hands right now. Therefore, you should be washing your hands for it. Similarly, Alter Rebbe talks about in Hilchos Netilas Yadayim. If let's say, for example, you're eating let's say compote or something like that, something that's made with fruit that is currently wet, then yes, you should wash your hands for it. But here we're talking about where the fruit is already dry. So then Rav Nachman is saying that to wash for it is gasas haruach. So then, therefore, so even though it is mekabel truma, but right now it's not actually wet. So therefore, when our Mishnah says noitun adayim lecholin v'lamaiser, it's talking about bread. And when the Mishnah in Bikurim says that you don't have to wash your hands for maiser, it's talking about peiros of maiser. Okay. Next. Tanan Abanan, we learn in a brisa, hanoto yodav, if a person washes his hands, niskaven, then if he has kavana, yodav tahoris, then his hands are tahor, loy niskaven, but if he did not have kavana, yodav tmeis, then his hands remain tamei. V'chein amatbo yodav, and the same thing if a person toivels his hands, as we said in the Mishnah, for example, that a person toivels his hands in order to eat kodshim, niskaven, if he has in mind for that, yod of tahoris, then his hands become tahor, loy niskaven, and if not, yod of tmeis. So the question is, v'hatanya, but we learn in another brisa, bein niskaven, yod of tahoris. Don't we learn in another brisa that it doesn't matter whether he had kavana or not, either way his hands are tahor? The answer is, amar abnachman, like kasha, kan l'chulin, kan l'maiser. There's a difference between chulin and maiser. When it comes to chulin, you don't need kavana. When it comes to maiser, then you do. Now, with that said, though, the question is, do we mean kavana as far as kavana, like the kind we said in the Mishnah, having in mind that you're going to be eating mice or whatever, or are we talking about kavana in order to become tahor in the first place? So we're going to go through the sugya over here, but it is worth pointing out that with regular Netilas Yadayim, when we wash our hands for bread, there is actually a machloikas between the Rashba and the Ra'ah on this topic. Of do you have to have in mind at all that you're washing? Let's say, imagine, for example, a cup full of water fell off a shelf and the water fell on your hands and your hands got washed. Is that considered valid Netilas Yadayim or not? The Ra'ah says yes, the Rashba says no. Similarly, you have now at least you can have a case, for example, where somebody else is pouring water on your hands. Where there, if the other person has in mind that it's for washing, then that can be good even if you don't have in mind. But if neither one has in mind, or a case like that where it just fell off a shelf and landed on your hands, the Rashba is going to say that's not valid until it's Yadayim. So in Shulchan Aruch, it mentions technically the halacha is like the Ra'ah that you don't need. Nevertheless, we should try to be machmir like the Rashba and say that somebody should at least have kavana, either you who's being washed or the person who's pouring the water on your hands. Anyway, according to the Rashba, we'd be talking about over here the kavana, that we're talking about the special kavana that I'm going to be eating meiser or I'm going to be eating whatever, rather than we're talking about the general kavana of to wash your hands in the first place. So the Gemara says, where do you get that for cholin you don't need kavana? So the Tanan, we learn in a Mishnah in Mikvois, gal shenitlash, if a wave got detached from the place where it was. Now you have, now the question is going to be like this. Part of the question is going to be, are we talking about a wave that comes from the sea, or are we talking about dafka that comes from a mayan, from the water of a spring? The basic question would be, is the sea considered a mayan for this purpose? So the Rambam passed that it is, but there are other Rishonim who disagree with that and say that no, we'd have to be talking about a mayan. Anyway, Galshin Nitlash, if you have a wave detached itself, let's go according to the Rambam, let's say, which is in fact the halacha, that we're talking about from the sea. So you have, let's say, it's a stormy day and a huge wave of water comes out of the sea, and then Uvoya Boim Saw, and the wave is big enough to contain 40 Saw, the Nuffal Allah Odavala Kalim, and that wave falls on a person or on Kalim, Taharin, then that person or those Kalim are going to be Tahar. Because the fact is they were dipped in the water of a mikveh. So katani odom dumya de kalim. So now we see we're mentioning odom and kalim in the same breath, implying that there's a similarity between them. Ma kalim deloy mechavni. The kalim are inanimate objects. Obviously, they have no kavana to become tahor. Af odom deloy mechavni. By the same token, we can be talking about the person didn't intend for the wave to come on him. We're not talking about that he was sitting and waiting until a wave comes. He happened to be standing on the shore, and all of a sudden, a wave came and covered him. Nevertheless, we're saying that he's tahor. Moses says, why? Dilma, and by the way, there is also a machloikus between the Taz and the Shach over here. Are we talking about that the wave completely detached from the water and then it really needs to have 40 saw, or are we talking about that the Shach or the Taz says maybe we don't mean it's completely detached? Maybe we mean like one end of it is still attached to the water, and then if we say that the water is considered a mayan, then we would say that even if the wave happened to be less than 40 saw, as long as it's big enough to cover the person or the kalim, then it's good enough. We'd be saying 40 saw because the fact is that's the amount you need to cover a person. Anyway, so by assumption, we're assuming, in other words, that we're talking about, again, that neither the person nor the kalim obviously have no kavana, they're inanimate objects. The person would be saying has no kavana either, by assumption. So that would mean even he happens to be walking along the shore over there, and all of a sudden a wave comes and falls on him, then he'll be tahor. Well, that shows that you don't need kavana as far as cholin. But the Gemara says, "Umimai, who says that's a valid proof? Maybe on the contrary, he knows it's a stormy day. He knows that every so often waves like that are going to be coming out of the sea and coming up onto the seashore or the riverbank or whatever. So maybe he's sitting over there and waiting until such a wave comes. And the kalim dumya de odom. On the contrary, then we'd say the kalim are meant to be similar to the person. Ma odom de ba kavana, where the person we're saying has kavana, he's sitting over there waiting for a wave to fall on him. And the kalim also, af kalim, the mechavim lahu. The same way we're talking about, he put kalim there specifically for the purpose of that the wave should fall on him. So maybe we're talking about that, showing, in other words, that he does need to have kavana. In that case, you're going to say, what's the chiddush? Of course, the same way as a person intends to go into the mikveh and goes into the mikveh, he becomes tahor. The same way a person intends for the wave to fall on him and the wave falls on him, then he's tahor. What's the chiddush? The answer is sakadai dechamina. Maybe you would think the Mishnah would have to be telling us that no, you would have thought ligzo dilma osi lemikveh b'chaudelis shogashamim. Maybe you should make a gzera that we should not allow that kind of tevila because the person might instead think that he could tovel in a chaudalus of rain. A chaudalus means when you have rain running down a mountainside. So even though you have, let's say there's a huge amount of rain fell and now you have a torrent of rain coming down the mountainside. Nevertheless, if you tovel in that, it's not considered a valid tevila. So Rashi explains there's two things over here. Number one, it's called katafras. Katafras means a slope. Specifically, it actually says it means a sharp slope. The 40 saw is so what happens is when you have water in a katafras, it's not considered all bound together. It's considered as though it was individual drops rather than one continuous thing of water. So therefore, he hasn't toiled in 40 saw. We don't say that the water in the place where he toiled is considered to be connected to the rest of the water, where they're connected by katakras. Furthermore, Rashi says that also You have to have for a mikveh, which in a mikveh made out of rainwater, which in this case is what we're talking about. It has to, all the water has to be in one place. You can't have zeichel and you can't have the water flowing from one place to another. So for those two reasons, you're not allowed to tovel in a chavdalis. Tosfos has some discussion about that and says that that really, in fact, Tosfos brings, according to the Ri, sometimes katafras can be considered a chibur. When you have, let's say, as we're going to talk about further in the sugya, you have, let's say, two mikvahs, neither of which has 40 sa in them, and you have water in a katafras joining them together, the Ri holds that's considered valid because the fact is they are joined together. So according to Tosfos, then the reason why you can't tovel on a chavdalis is more because only because of the problem of zeichelin, because the water is flowing from one place to another. It's flowing down the mountainside. Rashi, by the way, mentions that Rabbi Goin says that the word is not chavdalis with a ches, but rather chavdalis with a hay. How would mean a mountain. Dolis would mean high up. So it would mean water that's flowing down from a high mountain. Anyway, so the point is, the Gemara is saying, if you're allowed to tovel in a wave, then you might mistakenly think that you're similarly allowed to tovel in the chavdalis shogashamim, because it's the same kind of thing. It's a sloped, it's a slanted thing that's coming down like a sharp slope. So therefore, so you would think that maybe we should say that you can't, that it's not good to tovel in the wave. Inami nigza roshin otukipin, or another problem we would say, you can't tovel in the crest of the wave because that part is above the ground and a mikvah has to be on the ground. You can only tovel in the ends of the wave that are touching the ground. So you would think that maybe you would get that maybe you have a problem over there. If you're gonna sit over there waiting for the wave to come, what happens if by mistake you end up that you're toveling in the part that's in the air? Meaning, let's say, for example, the ends don't have 40 sa, or let's say, for example, Rashi says, let's say you would take a keli and stick it above your head and hold it above your head so that as soon as the water in the air touches it, it'll become tar, but that's no good because it only works once the water is touching the ground. So you would think that you should make such gzeiras. Kamash malon delay gazrinan. Therefore, the Mishnah wants you to know that you don't make such gzeira, but not necessarily does that show that if you were just walking innocently along the seashore and all of a sudden a wave came, that you should become torn from it. Not necessarily. Maybe you have to have kavanah. And the Gemara says, and we're not tamer deloimat bilin bekipin. How indeed do we know that you cannot tovel in the crest of the wave, which is above the ground? The Tanya, actually, we learn in a braise, exactly that. Matbilin beroshin vein matbilin bekipin. You can only tovel in the ends of the wave that are touching the ground, but not the kipin, not the crest of the wave. Lefishein matbilin ba'aver, because you can't tovel in the air, because the Torah says that you have to tovel in a mikveh, and a mikveh implies that it's in the ground. So you don't have a proof one way or the other from that a person could tovel without kavana and be tahor, because maybe we're actually talking about where he did have kavana for he intends for the wave to come on him or on the kalim and make them tahor. Doesn't necessarily show that if he's stam walking along over there and the wave comes that he should be tahor. But let's try to prove it. Elamei hodetnan. Rather, let's try proving it from a different place. A Mishnah says in Masechet Machshirin, the topic of Masechet Machshirin is all about the fact that if food becomes wet with one of the Shiva Mashkim, that it's Mukhshul Kabal Tumah, and you have all kinds of rules over there about throughout the Masechet about that you wanted them to become wet. So a Mishnah says over there, Peres Shenofel Masech Amas Amayim, suppose that produce fell into a water channel, which you didn't intend them to fall in there. Uposhet Misha Yodav Tmeis V'Naflan. Somebody whose hands were Tomei stuck his hands in to pick up the fruit. Yodav Tahor, that's his hands become Tahor because he dipped them in the Amas Amayim, and therefore that's the equivalent of dipping them in a mikveh. So it sounds like even though he didn't have Kavanah to be Matahar his hands are Tahor. But let's continue with the rest of the Mishnah. The fruit is not mukshul kabal tumah because we don't apply to it the words ki yutan. The pasuk says ki yutan mayim al zera. If water is placed on seeds, then they're mukshul kabal tumah. And the word the Gemara explains in other places that the word yutan implies that it says yutan, but it's written yud tof nun, which can be read yitain, and therefore the implication is that it has to be that you wanted it to become wet. And in this case, you didn't. You didn't want it to fall into the amasamayim. So therefore, so the fruit is not mukhsha v'kabal tumah, therefore it remains, therefore it's not tameh, even though a person with tameh hands touched it. The im b'shvil sheyudchu yodav, if he put in his hands into the stream, intending that his hands should become, that his hands should be washed, yodav tahoris, then his hands are also tahor, because he intended to wash them. Of apeiris harein b'chiyutan, now kiyutan does apply, because now, as soon as he, because now, Rashi says, now it shows that he liked the idea that the fruit fell in over there, because now it gives him a chance to wash his hands and while he's taking out the fruit. So therefore, ki yotan applies. He wanted the fruit to become wet. Anyway, the point is, so we see that even though he didn't intend to, that even though he didn't intend to tovel his hands, he wasn't, in the first case, he wasn't intending at all. He just wanted to take out the fruit. The second case, he was intending to wash his hands. Nevertheless, we're still saying that his hands are tahor. So you see that you don't need kavana when it comes to toveling your hands or similarly washing your hands as far as chulin. So again, you know, the Rashba says that maybe tevilah is one thing and washing is another, and you do need kavana for washing. But anyway, definitely as far as tevilah, we're saying to eat chulin, you don't need kavana. But Esvei Rabba L'Rav Nachman, so Rabba says to Rav Nachman, now what do you mean? We said in our Mishnah, Tovel L'Cholin V'Hochsach L'Cholin also L'Mais. So we said a person Tovel having in mind to eat Cholin, and in fact he had a Chazaka now that he can eat Cholin, also L'Mais, then he's also at that, he's also because of that to eat Maiser Sheni, because for Maiser Sheni you'd have to have that in mind, implying Hochsak Ein Loi Hochsak Loi. So only if Hochsak, only if he had in mind that he's Toveling V'Cholin does it work. Implying that if he was not Hochsak, then it doesn't work at all, even for Cholin. So you see, you do need Kavana for Cholin. The answer is no. No, that's not what it means. No, what it means is, even though he's Hochsak for Cholin, also the Meiser, he's still also for Meiser. In other words, it doesn't mean that when it says Hochsak v'cholin, the point is not to tell us that without Hochsak v'cholin, he won't be able to eat cholin. The point is that even though Hochsak v'cholin, it's as if he didn't tovel for Meiser. So for cholin, it works even without kavana, but for Meiser and upward, you need kavana. So Rabba says to Rav Nachman, I have another contradiction. The continuation of the Mishnah says, Tovol v'loi hochsak ki'ilu loi tovol, that if a person toveled and was not hochsak, he didn't have in mind anything particular, it's as if he didn't tovel, my lav ki'ilu loi tovol klal. It sounds like it means as if he didn't tovel at all, even as far as chulin. And the answer is loi ki'ilu loi tovol l'maiser. No, it means as if he didn't tovel for maiser, aval tovel l'chulin. But it means that his tevilah is valid as far as chulin. Now, who Sovar, Rabba thought when he has these answers from Menachem, I mean, both of them sound like a bit of a doicha. The Mishnah seems to, it sounds like the Mishnah is pretty clearly saying that you need kavana for cholin, and Rav Nachman is telling him that not. So Rabba thought, dochi komadchila. He thought, okay, Rav Nachman is pushing me off. He's fobbing me off with a weak answer, but really the Mishnah is implying that you do need kavana. But Nafak, Rabba left the Beis Medrash, doch, he checked into it. And sure enough, he found a braisa, the Tanya, so it shows that Rav Nachman's answer is correct. And in fact, that is what our Mishnah means as well, that he's even if not hochsak, and even if he didn't have anything particular in mind, nevertheless, he's good as far as cholin. So that bears out what we said before, that if a person tovels, and if a person washes his hands or tovels without kavana, then he's good for cholin. But on the other hand, if he doesn't have kavana, then he's not good as far as mice or any of the other ones. Okay. New din, Amar Rabbi Elazar, tova v'ola, if a person toveled, says Rabbi Elazar, and he came out of the mikveh, and he didn't, while he was toveling or before he went into tovel, he didn't have anything in mind. Once he came out of the mikveh, machzik atzmei l'chol masha yotzeh. Then at that moment, he can have chazaka for himself for anything that he wants. In other words, he can retroactively say, this that I just toveled is for Meiser or is for Kodesh or so forth. Tosfos brings that we have to be talking about where he's still wet. And Tosfos, in fact, brings from some Pisgah Yad that say that explicitly. So it has to be when he's still wet. If he already dried off, then of course it's not going to work. So Mesmer, the Gemara says, I have a contradiction. A Braisa says, Odehu Ragle Achas Bamayim, if he still has 1 foot in the water, then even if when he went into the mikveh he had in mind for something lighter, for example, meiser, he can instead change his mind because he still has a foot in the mikveh, and he can say that he wants instead for a davar chomer, that he changes his mind and says, actually, I want this tevilah to be for truma. But once he gets out of the water, but if he comes out of the mikveh, shuv ain't a machzik, then he can't be machzik anymore. My lab ain't a machzik klal. It sounds like he means he can't be machzik himself for anything at that point. So in other words, whether he had in mind a davar kal or whether now he wants a davar chomer, or whether he didn't have anything at all in mind and now he wants something, it sounds like the Braisa is saying once he came out of the water, he can't do it anymore. And that would contradict Rebbe Elazar. The answer is loy. No, that's not what the Braisa means. Odehu, if he still has 1 foot in the water, then afapi shorosach machzik. Then it means that even though he had in mind something lesser, then he can have in mind something stronger. So if he still has 1 foot in the water, and then he realizes to himself, you know what, I just toveled having in mind for meiser, but actually I want to eat truma. And then he thinks, while he still has 1 foot in the water, you know what, let me change it to truma, then that works. Ola, but if he came out of the water, imloy hochsak, if he didn't have anything at all in mind up until that point, machzik, then he can have in mind. So he gets out of the mikveh, he says to himself, you know what, I didn't have in mind anything when I went in, now I want, I'm still wet from the mikveh, so I want this tevilah that I just did to count for truma. But im hochsak ene machzik, but if he already made a chazaka for one thing, then he cannot make a chazaka for something else, meaning if he already had in mind meiser, let's say, and now he got out of the mikveh, and now he wants to change his mind for truma, that wouldn't work. But fine, Rebbe Elazar is not talking about that. Rebbe Elazar is talking about where he didn't have anything in mind at all, and now after the mikveh, he wants something. So fine, Rebbe Elazar says he could do that as long as he's still wet. So in other words, like this. So if he didn't have anything in mind, then we're saying whether he's still in the mikveh or not, as long as he's wet, then he can have in mind whatever he wants. That's what Rebbe Elazar is doing. If he had in mind some particular thing, then he can't, after he got out of the water, he can't have in mind something else only while his foot is still touching the water. So the Gemara says, Man Tana Odehu Ragla Achas B'mayim. Which Tana is it that would say such a thing, that when the person's foot is still in the water, it's considered as though he himself is completely in the water? So Amar Pedas Rabbi Yehuda. So Pedas says that would be specifically according to Rabbi Yehuda. The Tanan. We learn in a Mishnah in Mikvos. This is one of the Mishnayos in Perek Yesh Malon Samikvah that we learn for a Yortzeit and during the 11 months and whatever. So it's familiar, although the way the Gemara is going to quote the Mishnah over here, the Lashon is slightly different than it is in the Mishnayos that we have in front of us. But anyway, the Mishnah says, Mikvah Shen Nimdad, if a Mikvah was measured, V'yesh B'Aboim Samachavonis, it has exactly 40 saw of water in it. The Yodu Shnayim v'Tovlu Zachazeh. Two people go in it and Tovel one after the other. Harishin Tohar Vasheni Tomei. The first one will be Tohar. The second one already will be Tomei because the first one takes out some water on his body out of the mikveh. So now the mikveh doesn't have 40 sub. But Amar Rav Yehuda. But Rav Yehuda says Imho Yiraglo Shalishin Noigas B'Mayim. If the first one's feet are still touching the water when the second one goes in, Afasheni Tohar. Then the second one is also Tohar. In other words, because Rabbi Huda considers, because his foot is touching the mikveh, as though all the water on his body is still connected to the mikveh. The Gemara is going to call it soon good achis, that it's considered as though we lower down all the water on his body as if it was still in the mikveh. We come across good achis a lot in connection with the dinim of Eruvin and Sukkah, but here we're using it also in connection with the dinim of Tevilah. So therefore, so by the same token, if the person still has his foot in the water, then therefore he can still have in mind for meiser or truma or what have you. Now the Gemara says, Omer of Nachman, Omer of Avavua, Machloikus b'maylas tirabon. This Machloikus, Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, is only where they're toveling for the milas d'rabbanan. Like, for example, these various cases where we said a person is not tomei d'oraisa, the cases we were talking about in our Mishnah, where a person is tomei d'rabbanan and he's toveling for meiser or for truma, etc. So then, Rabbi Yehuda is saying that we're going to say that we're able to say good achis. The fact that the first one's foot is still in the water is good enough for it to be considered that you have a complete mikvah for the second one. Avam truma latara, but where he's toveling from actual truma to become tar, divrei hakol afasheni tomei. Then everybody is going to agree that the second one is tomei because when he toveled in the mikvah, you didn't have 40 saw anymore. The word af over here is in parenthesis, and Agoris Agro takes it out because why should the first one be tomei? He didn't when he toveled, there was still 40 saw in there. So we have to. So it would mean the second one is tomei because by the time the first one finished, even though the first one still has his foot in the water, nevertheless, Rabbi Pedos is saying Rabbi Yehuda is not going to allow good achis as far as toveling for a truma d'oraisa, only for a truma d'rabbanan. And one reason is because it goes back to what we talked about at the top of the Amud, the problem of kataphras, the problem that you have water flowing down on a sharp slope, where you have also the person that's coming down, the person's body on a sharp slope going down his body, and that can't be considered connected to the rest of the mikvah. So the Gemara says v'hainu did a pedos. Well then, so this that Rav Baravur said, it fits with what Rav Pedos said. So what Rav Pedos had said that Rav Yehuda would say, as long as your foot is in the water, then it's still considered as though you're in the water. And therefore, Rav Pedos is saying that's the point at which you can still decide to change from one milah to the other, to say that my tzvila that I just did, instead of being for Meiser, should be for Truma, for example. And Rabbi Baravua is saying, similarly, Rabbi Yehuda's din, as far as the second one being Tahar, is only where he's toveling from Milas to Rabbanan. So therefore, it all fits together that only there would we say that once his foot being in the water is considered him still being in the water. Ikadamri, but another version is Amar Nachman, Amar Baravua, Machloikas Mituma Latara. According to the second version, no, the Machloikas is actually where the person was Tomei and now he's becoming Tahar. Where Rabbi Yehuda would still say, as long as his foot is in the water, that's good enough. We're going to say good achis. Abu b'mailas t'rabanan divrei hakol afasheni tahor. But when it comes to toveling only from mailas t'rabanan, then everybody would agree, even the chachamim, that even the second one is tahor. And therefore, pliga d'Rav Pedos, according to that version, Rabbi Baravua would be disagreeing with Rabbi Pedos, because Rabbi Pedos would say that this concept happens only with Milas Terabanan, and according to the second version, Rabbi Baravua would be saying that it applies even to toveling from Tuma d'Oraisa. So the Gemara says, Oma Ula, boy minei Rav Nachman. So Ula says, in this connection, I ask the following question of Rabbi Yehuda. According to Rabbi Yehuda, we were saying that as long as his foot is still in the mikvah, then it's considered as though he's in the mikvah. Mahu lahatil machtim v'tzinurias b'roshon, shorishon. Can we take, for example, needles or small forks or things like that and tovel them in the water on the first person's head? So let's say the first person, let's say it's not even his foot, let's say he's standing in the mikvah, but his head is outside the water. Would we be allowed to take those things instead of dipping them in the mikveh itself? Could we dip them in the water that's on his head? We'd have to assume, I guess, that the guy has like very bushy hair or something, so it actually retains a decent amount of water. The question would be, good achis islay the Rabbi Yehuda, good asik leslay. Do we say that Rabbi Yehuda would allow the concept of good achis to say that the water on his head is still considered to be part of the water of the mikveh in the sense that now the mikveh has 40 saw to lower it down as if that water was all in the mikveh? Rabbi Yehuda would say that. Good asik leslay, but maybe Rabbi Yehuda would not hold of the concept of good asik in this connection to say that it's as if the water on his head is still considered. It's considered as though the whole mikvah was raised up and is surrounding the water on his head, so that you have 40 saw there. So would we say that Rabbi Yehuda disagrees with, doesn't hold of that concept, and therefore you can't tovel the needles on the person's head? Oidoma good asik nami islay. Or maybe Rabbi Yehuda would hold a good asik in this connection as well, and therefore you could tovel these things in the water on the person's head. Omalei. So Rabbi Yochanan answers him, Tinisua. Well, we learn in a Mishnah, we learn in a Braisa that addresses this point. A Braisa says, Sholosh Gmomias Panachal. Suppose you have three holes in the ground in a valley. The word nachal often means a stream, but Rashi points out it doesn't always. Sometimes the word nachal means a valley. So anyway, so suppose you have three holes in the ground over there. So you have one. You have one on higher ground. Then you have one on the lowest ground. Then you have one in between. So it's a slope. There's a slope on the side of the valley. Suppose that both the top and the higher one and the lower one are 20 sa each, which is not enough for a mikveh. The middle one holds full 40 sa. And you have a chaudalus, a slope of the with water, with rain flowing between them, like we talked about at the top of the Amud about a chaudalus. So now they're all connected together with the chaudalus. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, then what happens? Rabbi Yehuda says, Meir, hoya Omer machtubo yoyna. Meir, Reb Meir was his chaver, so he doesn't have to call him Reb Meir. So Meir, meaning Reb Meir, says that you could tovel even in the top one, even in the highest one, because in other words, so we say that you could tovel in even the highest one, because we say good asik, we consider as though the water from the lower ones is considered as though it was raised up to the higher one. And so, in other words, we would say that all the more so we could tovel in any of them. For sure, you could tovel in the middle one, which is 40 saw by itself, and for sure in the bottom one, where it's connected together with the other one. So Rashi says that since Rabbi Yehuda does not say, and I disagree with him, the implication is Rabbi Yehuda would agree. Therefore, we see Rabbi Yehuda hold of good asik as well. On the other hand, Tosfos doesn't really like that. And Tosfos brings from Rabbeinu Chananel that Rabbi Yehuda says that Rabbi Meir would say you could tovel in the bottom one, not in the top one, implying that Rabbi Meir only holds of good achis to lower the water down, but not good asik, not to raise it up and say that all that water was considered to be in the higher one. And then the implication would be that Rabbi Yehuda disagrees and said that you could tovel even in the higher one. Because the fact that he says Meir Omer means, in other words, Meir would say this, but I disagree. That's how Rabbi Chananel learns it. That's how Tosfos learns. So the question is, well, Tanya, don't we learn another braisa? Rabbi Yehuda Omer Meir Hoya Omer Matzibel Yoina. We have another braisa where it says that Rabbi Yehuda says that Meir says you could tovel in the higher one. But Ani Omer Batatona Veloy Bel Yoina. I myself say only in the bottom one, not the top one. So we see that Rabbi Yehuda clearly says that we only hold a good achis to lower the water down, but not good asik, not to raise it up. So the answer would be that according to Rabbi Yehuda, you can't raise it up. Therefore, the answer would be that. That you couldn't tovel the needles or whatever on the person's head. And similarly, in the case with these three holes in the ground, you can't tovel on the one on the highest ground, only the middle one because it's 40 saw, and the bottom one because they all flow into it. Amalei, so Rabbi Yochanan says to Ula, E Tanya, if there was a Braisa, then there was a Braisa. In other words, then fine, we have to follow it. So then I change my mind. In some places in Shas, some of the Mephoshim explain that it means, very nice, you have a Braisa, but I have a different Braisa, I'm going to still stick with mine. So here also Tosfos discusses the whole matter of Katafras over here. Don't we have the problem of the water flowing down an incline? So one point is that maybe Katafras only applies when Tosfos doesn't really get into this particular detail, but maybe one point is that Katafras only applies where it's a sharp slope, like we had before, going down a mountainside, not, for example, where it's a gentle slope. The other thing is, we said before, that Tosfos talks about that Katafras is not really a problem when it comes to connecting with Mikvos. It's only a problem when you're talking about having all the 40 saw in one place. Here we're only talking about connecting with Mikvos because you have a mikvah of 40 in the middle. If you have, let's say, for example, you're talking about all the water is in a Katafras, it's all flowing down a mountainside, you don't have any of it collected in one place, then we would say there could be a problem. But not over here. We were just talking about you have collections of water and it's just a matter of joining them together using the rain that's flowing between one and the other. So the bottom line is that we're saying there are different ways of understanding Rabbi Yehuda. In practice, the halacha is like the chacham in many ways. So even though the first one has his feet in the water, nevertheless the second one is not tahor. when it's Milah stood up on, and then we're saying that we can accept that, that his foot in the water is considered as though he himself is in the water, and then he can change his mind as far as what he wanted to toggle for, and then maybe also the implication would be the other person, and apparently the implication is the other person would be Tahor as well, because we'd consider good achis, we'd say all the water is considered to be in the mikveh.